propose to speak of that great I Am this morning on the Lord's Hill. Have the 27th Psalm today. Ask your prayers, the courtesy of your attention for a little while. I'll just read that psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be content, confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the 27th Psalm. There will not be time to deal with all the precious and deep things that are in this psalm, but I thought it was valuable to read the whole thing to you because I want to speak of the context of it and what its purpose is, and then the nuances, the particular points fit in with that purpose. But let me begin by reviewing David's life. The ancient manuscripts indicate that this psalm was written by David at the time of his anointing. It's been over 4,000 years. It's hard to know precisely what that means. But there were three anointings in David's life. The first was by Samuel when he was a shepherd boy. The second was after the death of Saul. And the third was after some 7 years of civil war in Israel when the other two primary contenders for the throne had both been killed. Then the whole nation united under David, and he was anointed again to be king. And I would make the assumption, but it's only assumption, that it was at the third anointing about that time when this psalm was written because of the things that are in it. The psalm is essentially a testimony. It's a testimony of David's experience with life. You know about testimonies, don't you? We come to meeting on Wednesday night and we give testimonies. Testimonies are commanded in the Scriptures. The Bible said concerning God's people, they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. And the Scripture also commanded us to praise the Lord and to proclaim His goodness among all the nations. Testimony is an essential part of living for the Lord. Scripture said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, David is an Old Testament figure. But this testimony, the 27th Psalm, is one of the greatest that has ever been given in all the history of God's people. It's valuable to us. It is a pattern. It is a pattern. When I was learning to carpenter, I went to find the best carpenter I could find to teach me what I needed to know. Going to heaven is a whole lot more important than building anybody's house, folks. Here is an example of a way to bring blessing and power and victory into our own souls, and also to pass that on to those we love, that they also participate. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the scripture said. This ringing testimony has survived down through the millennia to you and me, one of our brothers, someone else who tasted the Lord like you and I are seeking to do, gave us his example of what he found and left it so that we too find the same thing and give it to somebody else. Enjoy it ourselves and pass it along to somebody else. And you know, old brother David is dead, but he's not dead. And if we'll be faithful one of these days, we'll meet him over on the other side and talk about these things together and hear from his own lips the things that he faced. And we'll also have our own story to tell. So let me talk about some of the principal events that we know of in David's life up to the time of his third anointing. You've heard the story of the lion and the bear. He's out keeping the flock, killed him with rocks. God blessed him to do it. I don't know what kinds of bears are over there, but I wouldn't want to tackle a black bear with a rock, much less a grizzly. But David killed that and a lion too. He was anointed by Samuel. He did not ask Samuel to come and anoint him. He was out in the field and he got sent for, and Samuel anointed him. Saul had been rejected by God from his role as king, and Saul had trouble in his mind. David was skillful in playing on the harp. So David was sent for to play for Saul, and it soothed Saul in his spirit when David played on the harp. Then the next incident is David and Goliath. That incident brought David to national prominence, and of course, it awakened jealousy in Saul. So David, after the incident with Saul, spent the next many years of his life, if memory serves, something like 14 years, as a fugitive, running from his own people, from his own king and ruler. Saul tried to kill him with a javelin while David was playing for him in the palace. David went to the Philistines, his natural enemies, found a place and lived among them. He hid in the cave. Saul's men were outside the cave, shut him in. When they went to sleep, David come out, cut a piece off Saul's garment, but wouldn't take his life because respect to God. Saul was in David's hands that day. He had that experience. It was during this time that David thirsted for some of the well, water from the well of his childhood. And his men heard him, broke through the ranks of the Philistines and got water from the well and brought it back to him. And David wouldn't drink it. All these years he was running continually on like any fugitive is, no safe place really, with every man's hand possibly turned against him in treachery. Well, it's important to me because I have some battles too, and I like to know what these folks went through and how the Lord helped them in it. There's a story after that of Ziklag. David went back to the Philistines, and they gave him a city to live in. He left it for just a little while. The enemy came in, burned it down, took everybody's families, and took off with them. When David got back and found the city burned, his men turned on him and said, "Let's kill David, because he led us into this mess." David said, "Look, I haven't got your wives and children. Those other people have got them. The place to get them back is right where you lost them. Killing me won't help anything." In the face of what would have destroyed many a man, David rallied his troops and went and captured the enemy and got everything back, won a great victory in the face of it. Still a fugitive, still living among the Philistines. Saul got angry, gave orders. Doeg, the Edomite, went out with Saul's order and killed 85 of the priests because they'd helped David get Goliath's sword And he ate the shoe bread that was in the temple while he was running from Saul, or in the tabernacle, was running from Saul. It cost 85 priests their lives. David had that happen in his past. During this time, he fought the Amalekites and other tribes many times while he was with the Philistines. He knew the clang of war. You know, we say David turned down Saul's armor. Said, I'm not familiar with it. Give me my sling and my rocks. And so he did. But there came a time when David used every bit of that armor. He became skilled with a sword and shield. He had to. And fought in many a war. Saul died. This was followed, as I said, by 7 years of civil war. After that, the Philistines invaded Israel twice, and David had to fight them. When we were in Europe, visited a castle over there, huge courtyard, walls on every side, 100 feet high, filled with windows or niches, I would call them, and in every niche a statue. All the statues of men had swords in their hands. And it made me think what a time that must have been. I don't want to shoot anybody. And I've shot a lot of guns. And anything you shoot with a gun is at a distance from you. When you get in sword range of somebody, it's your strength against his. And that's all those people had. I think about what warfare must have been like in times like that. Bows and arrows and swords and spears, and that's what they had. That's hand-to-hand combat for sure, isn't it? And David saw a lot of it in his lifetime. Then he wrote this psalm as if someone would ask him, David, how did you do it? How did you keep courage? Lonely nights, hungry, the enemy hunting for you. Your own friends never knew who might betray you to the king. Feel like he was doing the king's business if he turned you in. When Abigail's husband, Nabal, when he acted towards you like he did, many servants today have run away from their masters, and your men were hungry. What did you do to keep courage? The 27th Psalm is his answer. It's a testimony. He said, the Lord is my light. He said, there's something in me deeper than me. There's something that means more to me than life itself. I didn't get it for myself. It was mercy. It was somebody bigger. The Lord. This word, the Lord, the one that's in this 27th Psalm, is only used twice in the Bible. This is one of the cases. You've seen maybe the descriptions of God as Jehovah Jireh or the other names that are given to him. This Lord means the all-encompassing God. It means everything. It means the God of battle. It means the God of wisdom. It means the God of creation. It means the God of victory. It means the God of mercy and my salvation. All of it. All in one term. So sacred a word, the Hebrews scarcely would even say the term. This one. This great majesty. In all the trouble that I've faced. And I'd like to have heard that testimony, wouldn't you? In all the battle, in all the disappointment, all the time that I was... It looked like we couldn't succeed. I wish... In my flesh, I could have wished old Samuel would have left me alone and nobody would come and anointed me. I never met Goliath, have to spend all this time out here. He said so many words, I never felt that way. The Lord is my light. That's a powerful testimony, isn't it? And my salvation. I have not saved myself. The Lord has saved me time and time and time again. When Saul tried to kill me with a javelin, when the Philistines were after me, remember the story of the Philistines? An ugly story. David barely escaped with his life. The Philistines were going up to fight against Israel, and the lords of the Philistines didn't want David to go. Some did and some didn't. Was there in the king's palace. David, in order to keep from being killed, he pretended he was a madman. Let the spittle fall down in his beard, the scripture said, and acted like a raven lunatic. I'd look at that and say, how could that be God's way? There's no honor in that. There's no dignity in that. How could it possibly be right? But what he went through, and when he was on the other side of it, he said, the Lord is my salvation. Folks, God's not very concerned with human dignity. I learned that when I learned about water baptism. There's no dignified way to come out of the water when you're being baptized. No dignified way really to baptize somebody. The Lord's not very concerned about how good you and I look. But if we'll take his humble way, the Lord has got a way to be our salvation. He will preserve us. Thank God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now I just tell you, I've faced a lion and a bear and Goliath and Saul. I've faced the Philistines and the Amalekites. I've faced my own people when my city was born, burned. I mean, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I've already faced all that. What do you got that's worse? Of whom shall I be afraid? This is big enough. I believe I'll keep on trusting the one that's done all this for me already. I think he knows what to do when the next battle comes along. I believe I'll be listening. It's not over. He just got anointed. David, following this, expanded the kingdom of Israel to the greatest reach that it ever had. From the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates, came under his control. He's right on the edge of taking that. And he had many things yet to face in his life. Perhaps we do too. He was not successful in all of them. But he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And I don't know how it's going to turn out and I might fail. But of whom shall I be afraid? He will go with me. He'll help me. And then he goes on to tell us why he would not be afraid. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Eat up my flesh is a term that was used by those Old Testament people to talk about slander and backbiting. It means literally when your enemy looks at your humanity and they pick out your faults and your worst points and they spread that and they magnify it and they talk about your failures. You know that poor soul hadn't got sense enough to know that he ought to part his hair in the middle instead of down on one side like he does. He looks like an idiot. You know, that's eating up your flesh. And you can take that as far as human imagination can take it. People do that all the time, don't they? With each other, in government, in politics, and in life. Make fun of one another and criticize one another. When my enemies came against me, there's no answer for that. You know about Abraham Lincoln's beard. He had a weak-looking chin. And when he was running for presidency, some little old 11-year-old girl wrote him a letter and told him he'd look better with a beard. So he grew a beard. And that's why he seemed like he is. But had he not? I mean, it's the same man. The beard didn't change him. But they're eating up his flesh. That's what this is talking about. People came against me to eat up my flesh. Even mine enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. That's why I trust the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? And here's why I'm not afraid. Because when all this has been tried against me, and I was defenseless, a sword is useless against slander and gossip. But he said, they stumbled and fell. I couldn't make them do it, but the Lord took my part. That's his testimony. It's powerful, isn't it? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here are the reasons why I won't be afraid. Because I've been through war. War is one of the most terrible of human experiences. It would be an ugly thing to even talk about very much of those atrocities today. But suffice it to say, in those times, well, I'll say this one thing. Old brother Jonah, God gave him a burden to go down to Nineveh. Jonah got on the fastest whale he could find going the other direction. But if you read about those people at Nineveh, you say maybe he wasn't so dumb after all. They were very warlike people, and they had the reputation. One of the ancient writers said they made heaps of their enemies' noses and ears. They made a practice of disfiguring people that they caught. That's just one minor example. David said, when war comes, I won't be afraid. Because of what I've seen, I've already been to war. And the Lord has caused my enemies to stumble against me. He is free from danger. And he tells us why he is, because of these very things that I'm naming to you. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. This is what I've desired in all my life, not to be a good soldier, not to be rich, not to be famous. One thing have I desired. All folks, this is a great goal in life.
Yes.
This is the most important thing that any human being can do. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to be there to see his ways. God's ways are not my ways. I cannot find them by my own thinking. But when the Lord reveals something to my heart, it satisfies me. It's beautiful. It fits. It's proper. It's in order. It teaches the proper role of man and woman to each other in the world. It teaches how to raise children. It teaches how to handle money. It teaches how to have relationships with other human beings. How to love. How to forget. How to forgive. How to have compassion. All of this I learned in the house of the Lord. This is what I've desired, he said, more than anything else. Let me go where people know about God. And let them teach me what they know. Let me hear his word read. Oh, Lord, put it in my heart. I want to understand it. I want to inquire in his temple. It means I want to go where God is and ask about his ways. I want to read his book. I want to understand his look at life, the way he sees me and what my needs are. This is what I want more than anything else. And here is why. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. These are the reasons why that I will not be afraid. In the time of trouble, I know he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He'll set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Did you hear that? Don't go to sleep yet. This is important. This is his testimony. The Lord will lift up my head above all my enemies. I don't have David's enemies. I don't even know where any Philistines are. But I got some. I got some things that hurt me bad when I'm trying to live for the Lord. They draw me back. I have to pray through them. If the Lord will lift up David's head, maybe he'll lift up my head. And here's what he said I'm going to do. And he didn't even have all that we have. We know the gospel. This man lived before the gospel. But he said, I'm going out where the worship is, and I'm going to sing. What about that? You know, it's not wrong to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting with a song on your heart. And to sing it like you mean it. With some joy and blessing in it. That's what he said. I will sing in the tabernacle. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I read these things, remind me of what Brother Leslie said when he got saved, young man in high school. I'll try to tell you briefly, he'd always sat on the back bench and had a friend that sat there and passed notes. As soon as he got down to prayer, start, you know, what'd you do in school today? What do you think about so-and-so? And talk about girls or whatever they talked about. He said, I always did that. He said, I got saved. Knew I had to quit. He said, I got off the back seat. Came up and sat on the front. He said, my friend didn't know what to do, but he came up and sat on the front by me. And he said, we got down to pray. Then he said, my friend nudged me and said, what happened to school today? And Brother Leslie said, I told him, I'm going to pray. And he said, I put my arms up over my ears like that and put my head down on the bench and I prayed. That's why we go to meeting, folks. Because God's here. This is testimony. When I go to meeting, I'm serious about it. I'm going to sing praises. Jesus is listening. And I intend for him to hear my voice, praising and glorifying him. My head will be lifted up. Hear, O Lord. And now he moves from this to his prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Listen to this. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When you said to me, seek the Lord's face is to seek holiness, is to seek innocence. When you said to me, lay aside your worldly things, lay aside your business, lay aside your feelings, come and listen to what I have to say. Folks, we need to make time in our lives for worship service on a regular basis. It's a Bible doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine to bless them that hate you, do good to them that despitefully use you. We need to do it. When he said that to me, David said, I said, yes, sir. That's what I want. That's what we make choices in life. And David is saying in so many words, look, I've heard the religion of my fathers. They taught me not to eat pork. They taught me not to commit adultery. They taught me not to covet anything that was my neighbor's. I've heard that. And he said, that's what I'm trying to do. Isn't that a good testimony? Isn't that what we hear all the time among God's people? Thy face will I seek. Then he said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. When I've failed, when I haven't done as wisely as I should have done, I've been a disappointment to you, Lord, and a disappointment to myself. This is my prayer. Please don't put me away in your anger. I want to come back. My life's not over. I want to get as close to you as I can get along the journey. That's one of the beautiful things about the Christian journey. As long as there's life, there's hope. Our Lord's mercy is eternal. Thank God for His precious blood. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I say to you folks, that comes at some time in every person's life. My father and mother loved me as much as parents could love a son. But they both died, and they've forsaken me. I'm an orphan. That's life. When they've done everything they can do for me, Lord, I still need something. Will you take me up? This is prayer. That's why we come here, isn't it? To tell the Lord, I've got things to face. I can't answer it by myself. Lord, take me up. Mom and Dad can't get me out of this, but you're still there. You were the one they looked to. You delivered them. Will you deliver me? Will you deliver me? That's what we pray for all the time. And here was his testimony about it. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up and so forth. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I can't get it all out this morning. It's too much. I sure want to get this one, though. He said, I would have fainted. In spite of all mother and dad were, in spite of what Abraham was, in spite of the law, I tell you, that's pretty rough, being down there with the Philistines, dropping the spittle down on your beard, trying to act like an idiot, still trying to believe in you being the God of Israel. One of those places, I'd like to ask David this someday, where he might say, well, I'm glad the Lord took me through it once, but I would never want to go through it again. And I feel that way about some things that have been in my life. He said, I just would have fainted had it not been for, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, not just in eternity. Well, I'm looking for that, all right. But it's more than that. I saw it here. I've seen people get healed here. I've seen people get saved here. I've been in places I didn't see how I could get out of and had the Lord deliver me here. I want to see His goodness over there, and so we shall. But we need it here in the land of the living. And David said, if all there was over there, I wouldn't have made it. But I've seen it, and I expect to see it right here. Over and over again. Thank God for His way. Folks, He knows where we are. He knows how to deliver you and me. In every trial or adversity we face, He is our great God. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I wouldn't have made it. And now it comes down to the whole burden of the whole psalm. It's in this last verse. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And then as if to underline his message again, he say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because you see, I was down there in the land of the Philistines, and I was afraid every minute. And I didn't see how this could possibly be God's will. But it was. Because now I'm king. And I know those Philistines. They're our most dangerous enemy. I know things about them they don't know about Israel. I know how they think. I've seen how they act. I know their names. God put me there. I thought I was nothing but a fugitive, but the Lord put me right in the enemy's army. And I saw how their battles are set up. And I know what kind of people they are. I know what it's like to have the wrath of a king turned against you. Now I'm to be a king. God wants me to use that lesson to control myself, because I can do that to somebody now. Nobody stopped Saul, and nobody can stop me. I've got the welfare of the people in my hand. God in his wisdom led me to this moment. And had I been foolish enough to fight him, to break under the pressure of it, I wouldn't have been able to get what he was trying to give me. I would have disqualified myself for what the Lord wanted to make of me. Look at me, he said. Look at me. Look what God's done with me. And I tell you, from this experience, from the lion, from the bear, I didn't know Goliath was out there. I thought that lion was going to get me. I didn't know Goliath was out there, but the Lord knew. He was training me. Wait on the Lord. Waiting is a Bible doctrine. Waiting on the Lord. There's a time when the best thing we can do with our case is just take it and spread it out before the Lord and wait on Him to work with it. All that we do many times to solve our problems just brings more heartache and sorrow and disappointment. He said, this is what I seek after, not to solve my own problem. This will I seek after. This one thing have I desired, to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to go where He is. I want to understand His ways. I've learned they are much better, much higher than my ways. I didn't know I was down there getting training among the Philistines. I had no idea how I was ever going to use this. Many a time it felt like it must have been a mistake for old Samuel. My life would have been a whole lot easier if he'd have left me alone. And God wasn't interested in giving him an easy life. He's interested in saving His people. Oh, He's interested in developing David's capabilities and making him the man that he became. So He is with you and I, folks. So He is with us. That's why we come to prayer meeting. Because God's, the saints' testimonies, all are fashioned to a degree in this very same pattern. It's our experience. It's the way He's dealt with us and led us. We don't have to be afraid, because He's led us into some things. I remember years ago, held a little meeting in Greenbank, West Virginia. Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie were there at the time, and their children were there. They were all young. They sang special songs nearly every night. And I remember thinking, they're school girls now, and they're singing those brave words. But whether or not they really mean it, that's going to be told by what life brings them. They really don't know what they're singing yet. So now the years have gone by, and I've had the chance to watch them. And those girls have met some very hard things in life. And they found out. They found out. And they pray their way through it too. I've seen them do it. Seen the tears that they shed. I've seen the heartache that they had. And I've seen the victory that they got. This is where David was testifying from. I love it when the young people testify. What else can you do when you're a young person? You can't testify from deep experience. You haven't been there yet. Testify what you mean to do. And I love it when the time's gone by and the folks show they mean it. Just like old brother David did. And then he can get up and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I add this to it. Wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He'll work out your life. Put your life in the Lord's hands. We can't solve it ourselves. If you put it in His hands, He knows what to do with it, folks. He'll lead us in the way everlasting. You and I would faint if it were not that we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have you got a trial? Be faithful. After a while, you have the victory. Have you got the victory? Well, rejoice in it. And be faithful. And after a while, you have the trial. And if you keep on being faithful, one of these days, we'll win the prize. That's my little message. Thank you so much for the courtesy of your attention once again.